Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Episode 3. Gentlemen, welcome.
How are you?
I'm good.
What series are we again?
15. 15, I'm coming in strong, full of energy. You look again.
you don't normally look like shit, but today you really,
mate,
really
I've had I've had 3 hours sleep. I'm jacked up on caffeine.
When was the last time you saw a pair of towel and tracksuit bottoms?
Me teddy bears, I call these.
91, maybe? 92?
Riddled with cat
hair. I'm not bothered.
Jumper holes.
Cut her on that.
It's becoming a bit of a feature, isn't it?
What about the response? I've only had 3 hours sleep. Like, yeah. As if that's a good enough excuse to turn up.
Honestly, I'll put the worst clothes I've ever seen on.
Just whatever was available, without delving too deep into the wardrobe.
How many coffees have you had?
Three.
Three doublers?
Yeah.
Three double espressos?
Have you ever gone out to cafes and say, can I get three espressos, please? Three espressos? Yeah, no problem. No espressos.
Oh, they go with the X.
Express.
That's all
right. It's one of my pet hates.
Unless the, because you're leaving quick. Express espressos.
Ah.
Yeah, maybe that's what
they do mean. Say at the service stations.
Yeah.
No, is the answer.
You don't drink it, do you?
Nah, it's a bit strong for me, unless I'm really tired. Like if I had 3 hours sleep, I'd have a espresso.
It's not a big issue, but it's just, you know, something that pisses you off a little bit.
Drink cappuccino. It solves a problem, doesn't it? Solves a problem. Are we all well?
Yeah. I had another gym incident yesterday.
Personal trainer.
Yeah, well, you know that we've established that I'm well out of my natural habitat within the gym environment, haven't we?
Snap.
Fish out of water, I think we'd confidently say. Well, Oscar's decided he wants to go to the gym as well now, so I took him along.
You've not got to impress him, have you, with the...
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, we're all dads at the table, aren't we? And dads of lads as well, boys, and there's something that, you know, it fills you with pride, doesn't it? When they look up to you and look for some advice and stuff, and I'm usually good. When he's doing his drama, and I'll go through his script with him and talk to him about his projection, and I can see him absorbing it and taking it in and taking the advice on. But then he's looking at me in the gym as well for a bit of it, and I did my best, like, but I was still wandering around like a lost dog. But he's like, what do you do with this, Dad? What do you do with that? So I was
machines
showing,
or yeah, dumbbells.
Yeah. I was showing him, but then they have one of them circuit where it's all circuit training and stuff. And, you know, like there's two kinds of medicine ball, isn't there? There's an hard one and then one that's like got sand in it. Is that a difference?
So that's a sandbag.
That's a sandbag. Right. Right. Well, the hard one. And they have this thing where you throw it up against the backboard. So I surely might do that. And I'm doing my best, you know, look like I know what I'm doing. And you do
with the
bad
shoulder?
Yeah, no, my shoulder went bad back then. And, but then they have a trampoline as well. That you throw the ball against the trampoline. Have you seen that one?
No.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can see what's coming.
I've never done it before. He's like, what did you do with this? I said, oh, I mean, there's instructions on the trampoline that you throw it against and you catch it in your chest. Oh, my God. I threw it. It come back at me like a cannonball from a galleon. He smacked me right in the schnoz. I fell back. You all right, Dad? Okay, I've got a black eye. In like a lying out like a lamb. Oh my word.
You must have felt about 3 inches tall.
Yeah.
Just keep it simple. I know. Get on the treadmill.
Yeah. I was doing well as well. Well, yeah, I did that with him. 12, son. Just go. Hell for leather. So you can't run no more.
Did you tell him to stay away from the trampoline one?
Yeah, he's staying away from the trampoline.
Yeah. I bet it hurt a bit and all, didn't it?
It did.
Eyes water.
Yeah.
Any claret?
First, obviously, I didn't react initially, just checking round. Nobody were looking, then I cried.
See, I keep telling you.
Dangerous place.
It's dangerous, them gyms.
You're out of your zone, comfort zone.
Is he going to come back?
And then you did two sessions at the gym yesterday.
I did, I've hurt my shoulder.
And then you had a double cheeseburger.
I did, yeah.
See, you've
and
got,
two pints.
I would say you've got an eating disorder.
Yeah.
I would say you could clinically get diagnosed with an eating disorder.
I like when you feel good afterwards, don't you? But then, you know, when you feel like you deserve a treat.
And like you're banging 3,000 calories.
Yeah, it's just all pointless.
Balance, Chris, that's what you need to find.
I know.
It's turned into a bit of a psychology session, hasn't it?
Jesus Christ. What's happening in football world?
Hey, we give Will Still a good mention, didn't we, last week? Have you seen that video? Have you seen the video of him training? You know, we were talking about can he speak the lingo? While we're looking, he's played all his semi-pro career in Belgium. So, I mean, he sounds like he's fresh from Montpellier. He's got the French accent down to a T.
All right.
But then he just flips to the Lancastrian Preston accent. It's unbelievable. He goes from Tintin to Terry Duckworth in one swift movement. It's brilliant.
I should be amazed by that. You know, the foreign lads who could answer the phone and speak in foreign then literally just turn back to English like that. Like, it used to be worse, though, when they were speaking English and then they turn foreign, you think, there's a good chance they're fucking caning me.
Yeah, slagging you off.
Yeah.
And they used to walk away.
Yeah, walk.
Like half.
Half raging, but not really knowing.
Yeah. He owes you an apology, by the way.
Why?
There's 20 teams in the French league.
I know, I checked.
I mean, that's it.
You said eight, I think.
I think
but you were adamant as well.
The words that you used were, I know there's not.
Cocksure.
I can hold my hands up.
20 on the nose.
If I make a mistake, I make a mistake. They just seem to play each other all the time.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of a different league. There's probably loads that you haven't heard of. Like the one that he's manager of.
David Edgar last week. Hope everybody enjoyed it.
One of my favourite stories, The Sopranos.
Because Matty just sent through the word soprano, so I didn't have a clue what was coming, and I wasn't expecting that. But I think we should get Patty on.
Yeah. Do you think he'd be up for it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, he is.
Maybe we could do it in like an Italian cafe. Getting back in there.
I'm sure you've got. I'll put suits. I'm sure you've got an old shitty leather jacket, so you can put on
four double espressos.
We ought to get a leather jacket, please. Have you got one?
Of course I have.
Who got one?
I will have. I think I've somewhere got one from back the in, you have. From right I remember yours.
I lost it.
Did you?
Yeah.
The Allsaints one.
Yeah. Honestly, I used to look incredible in that. Didn't I
know. I remember being out with John in Barnsley. I can't remember what pub it was. Journey came on. The leather was off, and it was that phase with the vest. Right.
Vest
under the leather.
Like Rocky Balboa.
And he was
chasing a chicken.
Every inch of the dance floor, sweating. I remember the brown leather.
Oh, right. Well, like a
darky
browny.
Yeah.
Honestly, a mint. Honestly, I used to love it.
It's just funny. Because obviously John's a recognisable face in the Barnsley area. Yeah. So you could see everyone just like, it's Johnny Park and that. Vest on.
Vest.
Sweating. Dancing to Journey.
So we'll have the jackets and shades when we get home.
Yeah. He's got his own property business now, so he'll go to speak about it.
Yeah. He's got cafes and...
he's got the lot.
Just laundry.
Full portfolio.
7 laundrettes he's got,
oh,
apparently.
I've never seen Soprano. Is that what they are, laundrettes?
Al Capone was laundrettes. I think that's where money laundering comes from, because he used to launder all his dirty money through laundrettes.
Oh, right.
Must apologise for the state of my house as well, lads. There any kitchen fitters? I know you asked for surgeons last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'm after a kitchen fitter.
In the Leeds Bradford area.
We could get them all
Bradford
together at the same time. You could do it on Ireland. Danny Simpson this week.
Two great episodes.
Yes, part one of two.
Two-parter, is it?
Mm, Premier League winner.
I know, yeah. The first one we've had on, David May.
No,
we've had a few now, haven't we?
Yeah. Chaddy.
Chaddy, yeah. Tell you what,
Mark Atkins.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fucking on the Patreon. There will be something very controversial coming out in the one of these podcasts.
At least
we might make it into Daily Sport.
You think?
Yeah, it's that controversial.
Double decker buzz on the moon.
it's actually outrageous, isn't it? That we won the Premier League.
Yeah. When you explain it to somebody who doesn't follow football, it is the proper Roy of the Rovers.
It's probably the biggest achievement ever in football, I think.
3,000 to 1, were it?
5,000 to 1.
Wow. He says it in the thingy, but there was another. When you put it into context, Elvis Presley was 3,000 to 1 to still be alive.
Oh, to be still on the Cubans with Tupac.
Yeah.
What, unless there were 5,000.
Unless there were 5,000.
Jesus, can you think of a bigger achievement in football?
Nah. you can't get your head around it, really. You know, if you think where the teams are.
Yeah.
The top four.
Unexpected.
It's like Southampton winning it next year.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, should we get him in?
Yes.
For part one?
You were devastated because we filmed this in Miller and Carter and John kept going on about his order. What was a 50 kilogram steak or something?
He was licking his lips, weren't we?
50 kilogram steak?
I said something about...
Fucking hell. Might as well eat 50. One of the kids. It is nice snap, though.
We didn't get any, did we?
No.
We left early. Sorry, John. We'll be back.
Let's get him in.
Done a few on Patreon. We did a few getting to know you questions, didn't we? I think we should throw it out there. We'll get to know each other around the table. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yeah. Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
First thing comes to mind is just at the training ground and stuff, and you nicked a few pair of boots.
Yeah, we've got him, lads. Yeah. Come on, come in. You're admitting it.
Listen, I don't think I'm the only one. Do you know what I mean?
Kit is always a good in the win.
When you're young and kit and like, do you know what I mean? So I got into the first team dressing room at United and this thing, like, I won't say stole, but they left stuff.
Nobody's claiming it.
They've gone off on summer holidays and stuff there, so it's, and then you take kit, game, then, take kit and whatever, yeah.
And things are probably left in there for the pre-season, you know, because they've already worn in and that, and then they'll come back and be like, I'm going to have to wear a new pair.
My gaff, mate.
Blisters.
No, it's probably happened to me as well, like, from younger lads as well. In fact, it has, so, yeah, that's what first comes to my mind.
What were your first car?
Renault Clio.
Souped all the works.
Black, yeah, it was a nice. I know I missed that actually. It was a nice little car. Passed my test second time, and so what I look back, that was good times actually. When you drive around in your Clio at 17,
I think you're the bollocks.
I'm playing for Man United, but I wasn't playing for United. You know what I mean? Telling everyone, I'm not even in the reserves yet. Can't even get a youth cup team, but I'm telling everyone I play for United.
It doesn't matter how bad the car was, as long as your sound system was right up there.
Yeah.
Windows down.
The only thing I didn't do the lights, I didn't do the neon thing.
Underneath.
No, I stayed away from that. It was just the sound system.
What would have been your tune of choice at the time? Fucking Dancy?
No, I would have been probably like Tupac and that, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. And Dr. Dre, you know, Eminem probably back around them times. Yeah.
What an album that was. 2001.
I can guarantee there were no Eminem coming out of my Corsa. Yeah. Or fucking Tupac or other one, whatever it's called.
Yeah, Carrington, innit, yeah.
What did you step up to then? What was the best car you got to?
Aventador, Lamborghini.
What colour?
It was red at first, then I wrapped it black. But it was like, it was my dream car and I got it after like winning the league. So it was like, I felt like I kind of deserved it. I deserve it.
Did you get the neons for old time's sake?
No, imagine that. No.
You got and a then, car loaded, yeah? You all
yeah, we got i8s. Yeah, we got BMW i8s, yeah.
How long did you keep it?
Did you sell it?
yeah, I had it for 6 months. Thing is, I had what was the first Lamborghini?
Gallardo. Oh, so you had two?
No, I had a Gallardo. The Aventador was the main one, innit? I had a Gallardo.
I'm fucking absolutely no idea.
Absolutely. It's called Gallardo. I'm not really a massive car person, but... And then we got the i8s, and I had kind of two similar cars, and I think we all wrapped them as well, but I actually do wish I kept that because it was more about the, you know, the what it meant then. Yeah. Actually, having a car, do you know what I mean?
Did you know that were happening? Like, or did you just all turn up and they were there in the park?
Yeah, we'd heard rumours. And
it's
then,
a good rumour, innit?
Yeah.
Before,
and then we obviously got, we was at a training ground, and I think they said we had some event or something at the stadium.
It's better than a trip to Magaluf, innit?
Yeah.
To get promoted.
Oh, I don't know.
It's toss up.
Yeah, probably. To be fair as well, it gives you a great opportunity for crack, doesn't it? The season after, you know, like, moving cars around car park and putting keys in different people's pockets.
Well, yeah, listen, it was, we all turned up and it was just all, obviously all blue for Leicester, and it's all lined up and everyone was getting an envelope, you know, with their own logbook and the keys. It was pretty mad, to be honest.
It was quite surreal.
Like, do you know what I mean? And like I said, it was even like the young lads that had not played many games in the first team, I mean, like Damari Grade, Ben Chilwell and stuff, they, everyone got one.
What about the lads that had just made the bench or something? You know, was there a cut-off?
I think it was everyone in the squad, really.
Right. Yeah. Imagine that.
Yeah.
18-year-old just nicking out. Third choice keeper.
Was there anybody in the group, you know, like, even at that level, there's going to be tight bastards, isn't there? Anybody gone, fuck me, I'd have had the money. You know what I mean? There's always one dick in there. You know what I mean? Fuck, I don't want, I've got a car. Give me the money.
That's just you, John.
Give me the money, I've got a car.
I've
got a Lamborghini. I don't want this.
Yeah, well, I don't know if someone might have sold it pretty quick, but I thought it was quite disrespectful, isn't it?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm grateful, yeah, and like, you know what I mean? A lot of us kept them for 6 months, a year. I know some lads have still got them, actually.
They're the tight bastards.
Yeah. Andy King. no, special times, wasn't it? And, you know, he was a special man, the owner.
Did you have a lot to do with him?
Yeah, everything was all because of him. Everything, the way the club got to is all down to the owner, I'll be honest.
And was he one of them who came in to dressing rooms and training ground and everything, or?
Came in, mate, training ground before games and take us for food and, like, yeah, he was really close to us. And it wasn't just us, it was the staff as well. He wasn't just like, oh, these are the players that are going to bring me success. It was everyone from training ground staff to stadium staff, which is why as well he used to give away all free beers and all that, you know, for the fans and stuff. And he'd give away, like, every year he was giving away millions to, you know, to the hospitals and local communities.
Received well by the players as
Yeah.
When you think about an owner coming in, you think, you know that meme where that guy in America knocks on the door and he comes dancing in, you think of him, don't you? And then players thinking, oh, he's here again.
Yeah, the pick and choose. When things are going well, they'll come down. But
he was always around when he could. Obviously, he had loads of other commitments, but he was like football and Leicester was his number one.
Going back to the start of it, coming through at United, like you said, you must have been strutting around the playground as a young lad.
Listen, it's a lot different now, isn't it? Coming through, I think. I was at school, and not sure. I had a trial at Liverpool first. They said no. City, they said no, and I thought, it's game over, innit? But obviously, I'm a Red United fan. I got a chance at United, and well, thankfully, luckily, they saw something in me. Signed for them at 12, and yeah, I thought I was a main man at school, innit?
You had your trackie on? Tracksuit?
No, but what it was, I got to like 14, 15, and then like, we used to get the day off, not the day off, but like half a day. So then that day, I'd wear my tracksuit. And there's like lunchtime. I'm like, tell my mate, see you later. I'm off to United. <mate."> You know what I mean? Telling all the girls and that. but yeah, it was like a Monday. We used to do lessons. And I think they were like preparing you for full time, because that was it. You used to go to Carrington. So it was like getting you ready to see if you got obviously a full time contract. The transition was easier.
Did you? Throw yourself, like, did you struggle with your pals and that? You're like, obviously, you're probably playing Saturdays. Are you still wanting to be out and about Friday nights? Well, for want of a better word, fingering and stuff like that. You know what I mean? You know what you were doing at 14, 15?
Yeah.
He's turned up his school and he tracks it.
No, it took me till I was 16 on that note. my mates, this, and we're all on the bowling green, on the parks. You know what I mean? Getting in telephone boxes when it was raining. And a Friday night freezing, like, what are we doing? Like, but obviously all my mates drank, but I didn't, because like I said, I had a game. I used to play on a Saturday, and it'll train Saturday, game Sunday. So I was out with them, but I used to have to leave it, you know, at a certain time to, obviously, because it was, I had to put out.
Some lads with a dog struggle with that.
Mm.
You know, like,
yeah, they do.
Think with differentiating themselves from them and the and the pals?
Yeah, a lot do. And I, even more so like when you go full time, when you leave school, obviously I was in digs and people like, why are you in digs when you're from Salford? But it kept me away from, you know, what my mates would do. I mean, I had rules that, you know, I'd like had to be in at 10:30 or the, you know, your digs lady would grass you up to the club.
Was that your doing that? Did you say I want to be in digs to?
Yeah, like some just always choose to stay at home. But for me, it was the best thing to go in and live with other players. I live with two other lads, a German lad called Marcus and a lad called Flo, who's actually in Galula, who's actually now, well, he's best mates with Vincent Kompany, so he's at Burnley now as one of his coaches. But yeah, just in that environment, I love being on the lads and we're all in the same, we're on it together. Mm. If I was at home in Salford, living at home, I would, you know what I mean?
Dangerous.
You find yourself in different places you don't want to be in. Yeah.
Who was coaching there?
So it was loads of like Paul McGuinness. We had a Brazilian called Francisco, who was class for me. Brian McClare, he was reserve manager. Ricky Spradger.
Ricky,
yeah. Yeah, Ricky, yeah.
You seen McClare lately?
Yeah.
I like it, you know.
You like
I think
it?
He looks well.
He's
edgy.
Fucking hell.
Nah, he's just scaring with them too.
Ricky and Tracky.
Yeah. Because I remember it was tough then, you know, United. It was used to, I mean, the first team, like Giggsy, Scholes and all them, and you know what it's like back then. I'm not saying the word bullying, but you know what I mean? You had to like stick up for yourself, or you had to do all the things that you can't do now because of welfare and stuff. And I think it's mad because that a lot of that stuff makes you sometimes.
Yeah. We just speak about it a lot.
It
yeah.
does, doesn't it?
The fine line though, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, but I think it's, you know, it's character building. You're trying to get to know the first team and to step into their shoes. And like I said, you can't really act like that anymore, can you?
The fun and games stopped,
mate. Yeah, you can't even do red arse now, can you?
No, the fun and games were the initiations.
Yeah, the initiations
stopped when you.
No, I was doing reading initiations, mate. Oh my god, it's embarrassing.
What did you do? Come on.
So it was either like try and tell some jokes, sing, or do funny movements. So imagine you got the first team. We're all sat there and you're actually watching your mates like cringing. Like, oh my god, what are you doing?
But then even trying to make them laugh
I rapped. Yeah, I got away with that. And I think
that's the safest bet, isn't
it? Yeah, and I think you always try and go first. Because if you're last, people remember last. And then you do like truth or dare, and I remember like I did truth and they ask you questions like and they'll say like who's the worst player in the dressing room? You know what I mean? And you're thinking, oh my god, I'm gonna get killed here.
What did you pick?
I picked an easy one to get out. I've met David Bellion.
Because he was shaded. Yeah, I was at Sunderland with him.
Yes. Oh, was you? Yeah, rapid, of course he was, yeah.
Speedboat, no driver.
Yeah, but I knew he couldn't really understand what was happening either, so
Bellion.
It's a motley funny, there's a big pool of players there. You look at that squad back then, It was scary. Like even the second 11 was a joke.
I reckon because when we had Lou Chadwick on, he half panicked and made something up on the fun and games, didn't he? He said they had to play tennis or something, but you could see that there was more to it. And I don't know who we had on after, but they were like, yeah, you had to make love to.
Oh yeah, that
massage
happened, yeah.
Beds and who was it? I think we've had that one about Van Nistelrooy taking a huff. Was it Steely?
I think so. Yeah.
Somebody came out dressed as a horse. Pretending to be Van Nistelrooy.
We used to do shows at Christmas. We used to do a Christmas play. We used to do a Christmas play and we used to act. It was the first years, wasn't it? And you used to have to be first team characters and come out and they used to, like Christmas dinner it was as well. And we used to have to put a show on for them and all the staff. So yeah, I can see Steely coming out with that horse's head, yeah.
No, it was Fabian. Fabian Brandy.
Was it?
Because it was something with Evra.
I thought he was Evra. He was Evra's baby.
that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Because we had narrators. It was Ant and Deck, but they were dressed as Gary and Phil Neville. And they were like, being busy and that, doing like quick feet. That's what they used to do in the gym all the time. And yeah, some good times, you know, I swear.
Did he take a interest in your development, Neville?
He did, yeah.
Right back from Manchester.
He did, man. It's funny enough, he actually negotiated my contract my new contract with Sir Alex. It's a bit weird. I'm like, obviously Sir Alex didn't like agents, did he? And you're scared, do you know what I mean, to start getting people involved. Yeah. You just try to get into the first team. Obviously, Gary Neville was kind of helping me and I was learning from him. And I got him to go in. It was me, Gaznev, and Sir Alex, and they chatting about me with my contract. I was like, this is happening.
Did he tell you beforehand that I'll come in with your contract? Or you went in the office and they were there?
No. I spoke to him. Right. I was asking his advice, and then he was like, I'll help you. So he's gone in and said to Sir Alex, listen, he's taking over me.
You've got to give him more than that.
Did he put a suit on for it?
Yeah, like, right, yeah. Come on, Danny, ready for you?
Yeah, he got it bumped up, but you know, I look back, I think maybe they was in on it.
That's what I was just thinking.
To God, I don't know.
I was thinking faulty
bastard.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like he'd done me, you know, he'd got me a better deal, but I don't know, it is what it is. But I just
fair play to him, though.
Yeah, listen, he was class for me. You know what I mean? He helped me loads. I was there for a few years with him, and I said I tried to base my game on, you know, how fullback was back then. It's different now, isn't it? You know, all wingers and that, but he was like, defend first, everything else is a bonus.
Did he used to work hard? Because I can remember it throughout, like, towards the back end of his career. You know, when Beckham left, he ended up being so much better in the final third.
Yeah, no, but I think he always had that, you know. But if you've got, just give him, don't you? It's like me, like Riyad, just give them the ball. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But nah, Gaz never had a very good cross on him.
Yeah. I just remember him just seemed to be getting better as he got older.
Nah, but I said they used to get called busy.
They were.
Because they were, but during the day, they had to look at him. And I feel like people now are scared to be busy. You know what I mean? Young lads.
Yeah.
They're scared to be called upon busy.
Other teammates
and that. Whereas now it's all about, we've got that cool, aren't
choice you? Of words as well, isn't it? Dedication, busy.
Yeah, and I used to look at them and think, listen, and if you're not as talented as some others, which I wasn't, especially at that club, I had to work hard on other things. And obviously watching Gaznev was helping me because he was the same.
What was it like coming through a club that size? You know, they must have the pick of a lot of kids. Every kid wants to play for Man United. So it was a tough, you know, when you're coming through in the youth team thinking, fuck me, they've just signed another right back, or they're bringing a young lad in at 18, never played a game, but he's going to get a chance before me.
Yeah, no, it was, I think everyone knew it was tough, especially then. They're winning trophies, you know what I mean, after fun. Even one of my mates, Phil Bardsley, he was a right back, and he was, you know, a couple of years ahead of me, and he was getting into the first team, and I'm thinking, oh, shit, I'm not going to get, I mean, he's only a few years older than me. Well, we're mates. He took me on my first night out, actually. it was tough. But then again, training with them players, they only make you better. You know, when you fucking up, when you obviously reserves are here, when you first get the chance to go over to them first team, and it's Scholesy and Ronaldo and all these, you obviously shit yourself. But eventually, all you can do is learn from them and watch what they're doing and the habits they do and why they keep winning.
You mentioned Bardsley like, there, man. He's played 20 years in the Premier League at least, and my lasting memory of him is sparking Rooney out in the kitchen. Remember that?
Oh,
that straight away came into my head.
Yeah, that's it. Good, they're good mates. I'm good mates with Phil, and we're all from Salford, so. But yeah, like I said, you're competing against your mates, aren't you, as well? Not just like the lads in the first team who are on big money, who come from all over the place.
Were you getting, you know, the lads more experienced as, were they on to you about going out on loan, advising you to get out? Or
fair, I always wanted to. Like, I had loads of loans. Some lads don't want to leave United and just want to stay in the reses. I wanted to get out and play games. Remember the Antwerp, the reason I went to Antwerp, I don't know if you know, you won't know, but normally the path into first team is going to Belgium, Antwerp, feeder club. Yeah. And that's because you've been doing well in the reses. And then I knocked on, so I didn't get picked. And I knocked on his door and asked him if I can go as well. That was just off my own back. And he said, I'll come back to you tomorrow. And because I asked, I ended up going. And ended up being there for a year, which kicked me on, really.
So you think you liked the fact that you
knocked
on his door?
Yeah, because it wasn't anyone telling me what to do. I was just jealous that some of my teammates were going to Antwerp and they were getting picked, not me. So I knocked on his office and was like, why are you not picking me? I want to go. And then next minute I was going.
How many of you went over?
Four. Yeah, it was four of us. The main bulk of us was me, The second time, well, it was like two spells. I did the end of a season and then the start of the next. So it was like me, Johnny Evans, Darren Gibson and Fraser Campbell. That second spell.
Did David Gray go?
Yeah, he went after, yeah. So I left in January to go to Sunderland. And then obviously David Gray then replaced me to obviously at right back.
What is it just sort of, do you get asked to go? Or is it you go in? You know, like the lads who didn't get picked.
I don't know if you have a choice. I think you can say no if you want. Like Tom Eaton ended up coming actually, and he didn't end up playing. He's probably his worst longest play he's ever had. He was just there with us, not playing. But I think you can say no, but it won't look good.
So you can't say no, but you can't really.
Yeah, one of them ones.
So you're basically you're forced
to go. Alex, innit? If he says something, you're gonna do it.
Another quick break, gents, for one of our favourite sponsors. What have we got, Chris?
What have we got? Fill your boots with that.
Here we go.
Get that down your neck.
Oh, Beer 52, our favourite craft beer company. If you don't know, if you're not aware, Beer 52 join, and they send you a box of beers to your doorstep every month.
That is gluten-free, first chop.
Ah, curated from all around the world.
Mother's milk. I'll
tell you what, there's a nice bit of artwork.
I know, it's lovely that, isn't it? I put some flowers in that.
Press it and put it in a frame.
So if you sign up to Beer 52, you get your first case of craft ales totally free of charge.
Absolutely free. All
you need to do is pay the £5.95 postage and packaging, and within days, look on your doorstep, boom.
You get a little bundle of beers. Knock on the door.
They always want to take a picture of you now, don't they? Yeah. Those one.
Did pause.
Hey, good night tonight. Got me beers. What else do you get in the box?
You get... Have a bit of them, Chrissy.
Oh!
I feel like...
magazine? Do we get a magazine?
We get the magazine.
So you can read all about the beers that you've got in your box, where they've come
Ferment
from.
Magazine.
It's a good read, by the way.
It's a hell of
it's a
read.
Bloody good read.
But you always
have to... What's the detail on where the specific beers are from as well?
You got a map?
Yeah, a map of Manchester there, Chrissy.
Oh, there's a compass on there and all.
Horwich.
It is an all. So the link's in the description. Or you can go to www.beer52.com/kosh and you'll get that free case of beer on your doorstep. All you're going to do is pay the £5.95 postage.
I remember Danny Webber. Didn't he go to Port Vale or somewhere on loan? And he half, I don't know if he said himself, that he tossed it off.
Right.
I know he asked to come back because it wasn't for him or something.
Right, okay, yeah.
And he got slaughtered.
Yeah,
so, right, slaughtered.
It was tough then, man. I remember I went Blackburn on loan. And Sam Allardyce, big Sam, I played first half. Sam Allardyce came in and I wanted to go back to United.
Half of the match?
So the first half of the season in the Paul Ince, I played. It was like my first Prem spell. And then he got sacked. Sam Allardyce come in. Now, obviously, then I'm 21. I'm not a Sam, big Sam player at that point. I'm young, I'm small, and I'm not experienced. And I should have gone back, but I was too scared to get hold of United and say, I want to come back, it's not working out. I was never going to play. Didn't matter how hard I trained, I was never going to play for him. And I wasted 6 months by being scared to tell him I want to go back to and train.
Would you have been all right if you'd have gone, look, I want to come back, but go straight back out? You think you'd have been fine asking in that way?
Probably, but at the end, there was no link then. Like, whereas now you've got, you know what I mean, loan managers different things in place. But then you're on loan. We'll see you in pre-season.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't called you back.
I know.
Because I think there was one, I didn't play in one game when I went on loan to Hull. And before the game had even kicked off, McCarthy had called us back.
Oh, was it, yeah?
Yeah. Because it's in the club's interest as well, really,
yeah,
isn't
it? Of course, you're wasting 6 months for your development. But again, I was too scared. I felt like it would look weak. You know, like you're giving up straight away.
Yeah.
You've got a new manager coming. He don't like you or you're giving up. And I thought by sticking in, I was doing the right thing, showing a good attitude and not causing a problem. It went the other way.
That wasn't a bad first season, though, at Sunderland. You must have just signed as I left.
Would have been, yeah. Well, I signed in the Jan. Mm. So you just gone then?
Yeah, he fucked us off. Early Jan.
Was Johnny there by then? Because
Johnny just
got there, right? So I came just a few weeks after him. Yeah.
Because he brought Neil Bailey in on probably the day that I'd left. You know, Neil Bailey?
Yeah, it was Neil Bailey. Yeah, it was Neil, yeah.
How did you find him, Keane?
Well, listen, that was... When I signed, you know, we didn't lose a game. So I think when you're winning,
not the good times.
When you're winning, you're not going to see that side of Roy at Keane, are you? Everything was flying. You know what I mean? We were top of the league.
Because when it was probably about January before he cleaned out the Deadwood, we weren't doing that well. So what do you think? We were struggling. Yeah, we win one, lose two.
So we were all signed in that month because you would have been playing with them lads in the first half, like Nosworthy.
Yeah, Nairn. I don't think he... I think...
Nairn not playing.
Nugsy, no, because he put him centre-half, didn't he? He was always a right-back, Nugsy.
Was he right? Okay, so that's when I've come in at right-back.
And him and Johnny were just...
Yeah, it was solid.
Perfect.
Is that the one where you had, like, Stern John up front?
Yeah. He signed him, yeah.
Yorkie was centre-mid.
Yeah.
Grant Ledbetter.
So I'd have played against... I'd have played up
Defo
there.
Played against you, remember?
Drew to all.
I think so, yeah. Defo.
Where were you at then, did you say?
Stoke.
Were you there when he left Toby and Ross Wallace at Wynyard?
Yeah. For being late?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
Mate, I'll tell you a story about me being late.
About you being late?
Oh, mate, I was devastated.
So was his pet hate one?
Yeah, I'd played 14 games. I'd played every game. You know, when this part, we'd won the league, there's one game to go. Looting away, and that's the day we're getting the trophy. Played all the games and I went out midweek. Me being me when I was younger. Woke up late. Jumped up, shit myself. Got to training ground late, missed training. I was begging him, man. Like, please, like, you're not in the squad. Last game of the season. I was begging him, please.
How late are we talking?
He missed training.
How late are we talking?
I missed, yeah. Listen, I got there, like, say training started half 10. I got there 11:15. It wasn't really a time where you can still run out.
Yeah. Did you go and sit? Would he have been out on the training pitch?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, he knew I was in the building now at this point. So I'm waiting for him to come in to go up and see him. Oh my God, I've just gone in, man. And so he didn't even kick off. He was just disappointed, if anything, as well.
Yeah.
Because he knew, obviously his rules are his rules. He wasn't going to bend them for anyone. And he just, I think he was just disappointed in me that I wasn't going to be able to play in the last game. And obviously all the pictures, was all the lads in the kit and I'm in my suit.
The thing is, the hangover would have been kicking in as well about dinner time. Yeah. Imagine it was a sweat on.
I've not been late. I've been first time late, please. He was having none of it. I was like, stick me on the bench at least. And he's like, no. Oh. I should have done a John Terry and put my kit on. Because all the pictures there, and I look back, I'm in my suit. It looks like I'm not involved.
Yeah. You not think about chucking a lie in? Flat tyre.
I don't think it's Brenger. Washing with Roy, is it?
I don't think it would have made a difference. I think I was just honest. I think honesty is the best with him.
As honest as, like, Gaffer, I fucking had a great night last night and I've laid
in. I said I was at a late night. I didn't say I was, well, I'm not steaming, but I just said I had a late night and I forgot to put my alarm on. Basically, that's what I said. But he could tell, innit? He's not daft, is he? Jesus Christ, he knew exactly what had gone on.
He did it with Dwight York. I think Yorkie was late earlier in the season.
Yeah, how did he? Yeah.
I think he binned him with the kids.
He was like that. So I was just going, like I said, last day is my first time, like my first proper spell in England, first team football. You win the championship. What a spell it was. And that day, man, just watching the lads in the stand, it was looting away it was, and they won like 6-0 as well. What a day. You know what I mean? Got the trophy, but listen, you learn, don't you?
I think he'd have probably done that, or would he have, if you needed to win to win the league or win to go up. Think he'd still done that?
He still would have done that, you know.
It was an easy decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, I still think he does that. I think he's just the way he is. Even when I used to train, when I used to come in the first, he was scary to train with, mate. So I'd rather be on the other team. So, you know. And when the bibs get handed out, and if you got a yellow bib, you're looking away. I don't want a yellow bib. Because he was just on everyone, but like making them better. But like when you're a young lad, you didn't need it. You used to crumble. I mean, you give him a ball, and if it was a good pass and he lost it, he blamed you. Do you know what I mean? But like, no, listen, he weren't just me. He was other lads that usually were there. That foreign lads come over and probably never played with someone like him. He demanded so much. So yeah, I don't think it would have made a difference if there was a genuine reason, or if it was like I said, it was a big game to actually win the league or not win it.
One of the biggest bollockings I've seen him give was to Toby. Toby
Yeah, yeah, left winger.
He came off injured on the Saturday. We were getting beat 3-4 at Preston, and he came off after 60 minutes and trained on the Monday.
You had a day off?
No. So he came off crocked.
Mm. Oh, okay, yeah.
Came in for treatment Sunday and trained on the Monday. You're just thinking, Toby, come on, man.
Yeah. At least Thursday.
It's a Thursday job, innit?
Yeah.
He absolutely destroyed him.
Yeah.
Left him out next couple of weeks.
That happened when I got my debut at Leicester. Richard Delatt, Aston Villa away, woke up in the morning, said he didn't feel well or he was injured or something like that. And I got chucked in last minute. And then on the bus on the way back to Leicester, he asked, can he train on a Sunday? Can he come in and do some running on a Sunday? He just threw one in at Aston Villa away. Didn't even wait till Monday.
Richie, man.
I know.
To be fair, right?
But I got my debut, so I was good raining. And then I got a good run then. Because Nigel weren't stupid.
He were at Stoke, Richie, right? And he were fucking crap. Like, crap.
He's rapid though, mate.
Yeah, but he were crap.
I think he ended up being a striker, didn't he? Didn't he go to Australia and playing?
Yeah, in Australia. Yeah. He's back in Belgium, that answer. That's where we got him from, United. When we went alone to Antwerp, Richie was as an Antwerp academy player. Got into the first team. United was obviously coming to watch us. Saw Richie and they signed him off the back of that. That's where it all came from, Richie, yeah.
Thing is, it must have been perfect for you. Your first loan move over here.
Yeah.
Going back to United, knowing that you've got the confidence of playing in a championship winning team. You must have been...
Yeah, well, I wanted to stay, but obviously in the Prem, you only allow one lone player from each team. Obviously, it was me and Johnny in the Championship, and in the Prem it was one. And Johnny stayed, didn't he? He did that year in the Prem, and I went back.
When you went back, obviously you got a couple of starts, didn't you? On the bench.
Yeah.
Were you disappointed when it came to going on loan again to Ipswich and Blackburn? Did you think that you might be?
Yeah, nah, so,
getting away in.
So obviously I got some games and my debut set Wazza up in my debut. Got a few Champions League games, and then you don't realise then, obviously you get older, you realise it's tough to play a kid, man. If you drew at home, or if United drew at home, you've dropped 2 points, you know what I mean? That could kill the title race. So when it got to like January, February, and you're all of a sudden not involved, but then that's business end, isn't it? Yeah, you don't realise at the time, because I don't have a clue. I was like, why was he involved before in the group stages and now I'm not? And instead of actually just asking the question and finding out, and then eventually I just said this, and I went in and said, I'm not happy, I want to get off. That's why I went Ipswich in March.
It's trust, innit? You've got to get the trust of the manager. Yeah. You know, if he thinks, business end.
I'm not thinking at the time, no one's telling me that. Obviously, then you get older, you look back and think, actually, that's why you weren't getting picked, because you got to play your experienced players.
I think even if you're in and around it and you're playing a few games, you're still actually miles off it, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Do you know, from being like in the irregular and him trusting you for these big games?
Yeah, well, and I got off as well as far as the way, because Ipswich is the furthest place you can go. I'd actually played Tampa. I don't know, people do not know this, but I don't mind saying it. So I'd played Roma away in the Champions League, drew 1-1, I think PK scored. Next day, I've got my apartment buzzer's gone. So, hello? Oh, I won't say the name. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, yeah, come in. This girl's turned up at my door, mate. 5 months pregnant. Telling me I'm the dad. So imagine, I've just played Champions League. Biggest night of my life. Drew 1-1, got Totti shirt, come home buzzing, all my mates are buzzing. And then 24 hours later, some birds telling me she's pregnant. So I was going through that for a few months. I remember like Rio was helping me and like getting advice off like the senior players.
Did it affect your footy?
Yeah. And eventually I just needed to get off. So apart from not playing, being involved in the first team, like I was Champions League games and that, I just wanted to get away. So I remember Gaffer went to Sir Alex, he was like, I've got Watford or Ipswich. I remember saying, I'm going Ipswich.
Did that help you, that?
I just shut off for a bit, innit? I just went and played football. Not playing football. Everything else is going on, he's worse. When you're playing, you can think you can deal with it. Mm. And I'm a kid. you know what I mean? I've got this lawyers and she wants this house and this and that. Cut a long story short, anyway, obviously I had to test and obviously wasn't mine, but it was like yeah, mate, it was a mad 4 to 5 months really, about 4 to 6 months of madness.
So did you go and speak to like the experienced lads?
I spoke to Rio. Rio was the one. I should have told the manager, to be honest with you. I might not have gone away. He might have kept me around a bit. I don't mean, I don't know.
Was he good with stuff like that?
I think so. If you actually did, and I look back, I didn't. I think, oh, I can't tell the manager this, but I probably could have, I should have. But now Rio was helping me with that one. But yeah, it was mad, mate. And when that test came, when the results come through, mate, it was mad.
Back down to it with a bump, innit? When that
buzzer. Aroma.
Yeah, that buzzer goes.
Mm. Mate, it was mad, you know.
I can't open the door.
Honestly, I was on telly night before playing against Roma. You know what I mean? One of the best nights of my life playing for United in the Champions League against Rome, against Totti. And then that next thing, bomb, big bomb on me.
Totti to Tommy Tippy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I like that.
How long left of the game are you like man marking Totti for his shirt? 10 minutes?
Oh, I've gone up to him straight away and he's gone, oh, Rooney's got it. Rooney's asked for it. Oh, fair enough. It's Wazza, isn't it? So anyway, I'm sat in the dressing room and Al, the kit man, he's come, he's gone, oh, Simo, he's got a shirt. He's threw me a shirt and he's remembered that I've asked, gone and got his first half shirt out of the bin, or the skip, and give it to our kit man to give to me because it was he gave Wazza his second half shirt and he went and got giving his first half one. I was thinking, wow, what a guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not bothered.
Did they give the kit man your answer?
Nah.
Take that to the big man.
Nah, he'd have put it in a bin. Nah, I think I kept mine as well, but see, he didn't want mine. But no, that's just that, innit? Just shows what kind of a guy he was, innit? Like, everyone liked him as well.
The thing is, that's standard, innit? Two shirts. You know when you see people asking after a game and they go, so-and-so's got it.
Yeah.
You know that they've got another one in there.
Yeah, I didn't know what I seen. So when for him to come through and remember that, he didn't have to do that, did he? He could have just got in there and won all and got on with his night and gone home. But yeah, he gave us that shirt. I've still got it.
Do you think about that 4 months that you were playing the waiting game there, do you think it affected your football and everything? I imagine it obviously
did. It was affecting me at United. But then when obviously I got down to Ipswich, I just felt like... I was playing again, so you know we were actually. I think we ended up finished seventh. We weren't far off playoffs, to be honest. played in a derby against Norwich and that. So listen, I was just trying to focus on that. But then obviously, when you go back to Manchester, then it hits you again.
Yeah,
there's actually something going on here. You know what I mean, that I'm gonna find out about soon. It could affect my life forever.
He
was a phone call. You know,
was it?
Yeah, I started crying my eyes out.
Relief.
Yeah, of course. I was a baby, do you know what I mean? I didn't know this, but well, I didn't really know her.
You'd known her for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, 1 minute, yeah. that was a mad little time where I probably should have told Sir Alex.
Quick break for a message from our series sponsor, gentlemen, BetMate.
That was the voice of somebody that's taken profit from the weekend's games.
Manager of the week, hey?
Congratulations.
Manager of the fucking
trophy.
Manager of the week.
I've been dishing bonuses out to all my players.
Somebody did finish bottom of the whole thing. Nationwide.
John.
Yeah.
Tough week for me. I mean, obviously...
Start clearing your desk. Bottom of the whole country.
Country.
Can we say worldwide?
Yeah.
Worst in the world.
I had a sticky week.
How does it feel?
Sticky week.
So, I'm banging to it though.
Eh?
I'm banging to it.
You like football?
I took profit from the Fulham Forest game.
Why are you going on the individual games?
Individual games. You can pick six from each team. So you've got to pick, obviously, team of seven. Plus your four subs, you can have six from each team. £1.83 profit. Not bad.
Yeah.
And then I went in the Man City Villa game on Sunday. And
I thought tactical and put Martinez, Villa keeper, and he picked us up 4 points. And you think, there well, we conceded go. Three, but
I knew we were
you
taking
get
it
points
serious.
For saves, see? Right. I thought he was going to be busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, but those who don't know, BetMate is the fantasy football app that we've been playing every week.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So, team of seven. Yeah. Seven starters, four subs.
Well, we've got a single game this week, haven't we? And it's a big one. League Cup final, Newcastle, Man United. So we'll pick our best team from the two. The link's in the description. And if you put in UTC5, you get free £5 in your bucket. But get your teams in. Scroll down, get to the League Cup final league. It's on there. Just click on, join the league, £5 in. I think there's £600 to split between the winners. And it's good because it is small stakes as well, isn't it? £2 to £5 max.
Yeah. £2 to £5, enter as many as you want. Responsible gambling.
Yeah. It's really Please. Responsible because that's what you want to do, isn't it? Bit of fun.
And you've got to be over 18.
18 and over, gamble responsibly, obviously.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What were Sir Alex and Rooney and Ronaldo like? You know, when he was young and fucking doing all this shit. Step off, is he used to care
anymore?
Nah,
but even the players did, though. Like, Gaznev, all them gigs, he, like, obviously helped him not to do it in them stupid areas and do it up there. But one summer, mate, he come back from that skinny... He was always tall. And he was just a machine, mate. I don't know what he'd done that summer. All us lot are in Malia and Napa. You know what I mean? Come back to the pre-season. And he must have just been training and eating and gymming. As we know what we know now, obviously we see him. But back then, we didn't know. There wasn't really social media, so you don't know what he's doing. Obviously now, you can see what he's doing every day, can't you?
Similar to Rashford, isn't it? You know that last year, people were slaughtering him. Then he's gone to New York or somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's come back a specimen, hasn't he?
Look, now, like you see now, everything, he's just physically right, isn't he? Everything. I think he had a few shoulder problems and had a few injuries, didn't he? And now he just looks physically like in the best shape he's ever been in, and you can tell. And he's probably feel good, play good. I said, Ronaldo, come back, mate. And we're all like, he had lats up here, all this. I was like, what have you been taking? You know what I mean, we want some, you know what I mean? But he worked his bollocks off, mate. I'll be honest with you, he was every morning, afternoon, he was really dedicated.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? It's Ronaldo. It's dedicated.
Yeah, busy, mate. It's busy. Yeah, busy.
It's never always busy.
I know. Yeah, Ronaldo, it was fine.
Can you remember the point where you thought, I'm going to have to move on here and leave?
Yeah, I said it's when you go on two pre-season tours, you know what I mean? I mean, that's always a sign. If you get on the tour, you're doing something right. And then if you've been on two and then you don't go on the next one, you're not in the running, are you?
Was Rafael at the club at this point?
I think they had just got the visas, to be fair, yeah. Working visas to actually come over, him and Fabio. Good lads as well, but I think, and then the two Brazilians coming over, it was going to be tough. They were on the tour, and then I got a chance to go to Newcastle, which, I mean, it was, went on loan and it was too good to turn down. And it just gets to a point where you're like, listen, I want to have a career here. I know United's my love, but you can cling on too long sometimes and miss. If I didn't take that option in January, I could have gone back to United and they would have signed someone else. Mm-hmm. So I had to, it was a massive club to play for.
And how old were you when you made that decision?
I'd just turned 22.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a good place to live and all, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
Who's showing you the town when you arrive?
It was a good squad, actually. It was like Andy Carroll. There's people there I knew, though, like Butty, Nicky Butt, yeah. Alan Smith, Kev Nolan. It was a good little group of lads that, you know, would have a drink.
They're like the back end of the old school lads, aren't
yeah.
they?
So again, I feel like I've learned, I know what I will talk about, but I've learned, I watched that drinking culture, and I was part of it, you know, before it kind of started to change. And I still feel I was kind of involved in it, and I saw like older experienced players drinking and training and drinking, do you know what I mean? And that's what I seen and witnessed for a few years. And I got involved.
It's good, innit? It was a good one.
I got involved, yeah.
Do you know the change? Because obviously you've witnessed the change. Do you think that's come from the clubs, as in like education, or do you think it's just come from a societal thing where lads are looking at the players that do the best and they're not doing it?
I think it came from the foreign lads.
Yeah.
Like, they used to think we were crazy. Like, and we were like, we're not crazy. This is normal. This is what happens. We finish training, we go to the pub, we go out, do you know what I mean? Well, they'll go for food, you know what I mean? And maybe have a glass or whatever, do you know what I mean? And we're sinking like pints or whatever and drinking till you can't stand up. And they'd be like, you're a lot of crazy. And I think that's what started to happen, is they're playing better or training better. And it was like, actually, we've got to look at what they're doing. And I think then all you... strength and coach, all these S&C coaches, all that comes into it, and data and all that, and you have to start trying to change, because like I said, the foreign lads are coming over and performing better.
Thing is though, which did you prefer?
The old school.
We've had lads on from the mid-90s, and when the foreigners came over, they didn't drink, but within 2 weeks, Lee Clark and Steve Watson have got them out, so they've kind of joined.
Oh, I try, but yeah. You do try that.
But then
you do, of course you do.
But then it must have gone the other way now, where they come over and they're kind of like,
it's easy when everybody's doing it.
But then again, at the same time, I don't think you lose that team bonding. I don't care what anyone says. I feel like we can all travel. We've all been there. Coaches, traveling, hotels, all that training. You spend so much time with each other. But you don't actually know your teammate till you go out with him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree with that.
And it's a fact. And when you have a few beers, you might actually sit and talk about real shit. And I don't know. And you're finding out about his actual life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't really sometimes speak about that when you're just traveling and training in hotels and autopilot and getting ready for games.
Yeah.
And even in the physio room, you're just having a laugh. So I also think at the same time, when you all go out together, you learn loads about each other, and then the next day you actually buzz off another teammate. Well, wow, I remember you last night.
The surprise loose cannon. There's always one, isn't there?
I remember Okazaki, mate. I swear to God, I love him. I used to sit pretty much near him every day for God knows how long, and went on a night out, and he was off his head.
Who's that?
Okazaki. Shinji Okazaki, mate. And then we all just loved him.
Even more after that night?
Yeah, it was because of that night. Like, do you know what I mean? We knew him and we liked him, but he was pretty quiet and, I mean, he's Japanese, and then he went this night out and he was going for it, mate. Like, oh my God, what a guy. And the next day, training, just looking at him going, have I witnessed, like, is that really you last night? But again, I think it comes down, like I said, that team bonding. I think you can lose that if you don't go out and have a little drink. You don't have to drink, because there's lads that didn't drink. We had Kante, etc. But they were still out with us. It can go a long way, as you know. It can go a long way in games, in football, and training, and then moments, 10 minutes to go, and you know what I mean? You're digging in deep for your mate.
Yeah.
How was Pardew?
I liked him. I got on with Pardew well, mate. Obviously with Chris Hughton signed me, he left. Pardew came in, and to be fair, I got on with him day one. People will probably say what they say about him, but I thought he was good. He had John Carver with him. I was going through some bad times at one point, and I could knock on his door and chat to him. Even when like my contract situation was going on, which has nothing to do with him, it was Mike Ashley, and he was really understanding and didn't use it against me. You know, some managers will not play you or whatever. Because your contract's not running up and whatever, and he wasn't involved in that. He was
separated it.
Yeah, he separated it from actual business side to the human side, and we had a couple of chats about everything, and he was, like I said, he could have easily when like them fuck you off, put you in the resis and stuff, but you know, he was great for me, to be honest.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was getting told to as well from above.
He would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Trying to make him.
It was Derek Lambias, it was, and Mike. it's a shame because like I said, I love Newcastle. Listen, you look what they're doing now. I look, it was, you know, when I was there, we finished fifth. You know, it was good going. We got into Europa League quarter final. We had a good run there, and obviously they're doing it now. So I know obviously what it's like up there at the minute because it was when that team's doing well, the town's buzzing.
We have only heard good things about Pardew.
Yeah.
Never, yeah. Mm. Honestly, mate, it was good. I don't know. There's this perception, I think.
I think it was the dance, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is it? You know, the dance at the FA Cup final or something?
Against Liverpool, was it? No.
I'm not sure it was against, but when he's danced, you think, come
on,
Alan.
Was it not
United?
What?
Might have been United.
It was a sleazy dance, I'd say.
Yeah.
I think he's had a few personal things, hasn't he, as well, and that. So when I had mine, he was understanding. But I, as a coach, as a guy, I thought he was proper sound, yeah, and he was good for the club.
Did you have much dealings with Mike Ashley? The reputation that he has.
It's mad though, he's just a ruthless businessman, isn't he? But actually, when you meet him, he's all right. And like, remember the end of the season, obviously the lads wanted me to stay. I wasn't happy with what had been offered or whatever. And it was like at end of the season, doing you in the bar and he's there, he's getting us all shots and that. And he actually, the lads got him to up his offer.
What, at the bar?
Yeah.
This isn't the first time we've heard him about doing dealings over a few shots.
Where, mate? I swear to God. I was like, why am I having this? This could happen 3 months ago. But at this point, things had already pretty much been made up. And it took Stephen Taylor, Tim Krul, some of the other boys to like get into him after a few Jager bombs. And he was like, right, take it or leave it, I'll do this.
Fuck
me. I swear, mate, and I couldn't take it serious because obviously after that night, you all go home.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see each other again. You know what I mean? It's summer holidays then.
I've been fucking leading him down to ground.
Oh, mate.
Get that chief exec on, let's get it riched up.
I'll be ordering a few more slippery nipples first. I should have
got some more Jagers because I didn't actually really want. I didn't want to leave. I loved it up there. What a town, mate! Going like just everything, young, going out, winning games. You know, Newcastle's a top night out, man. and the fans and the stadium, everything. It's sick, man.
I was Ranger.
Niall, mate.
Handful, wasn't he?
He was an handful.
What, on the pitch?
Both. I'm guessing.
Both, because he was actually strong. Right, on the pitch, strike. He was horrible to play against. But yeah, off it, mate. Again, he was just one of those lads that had all his mates with him from the road, from growing up. And you sometimes got to separate yourself from them. I'm not saying it's their fault.
Did none of the other lads?
We tried, mate. I tried. Same with him, and similar to when people spoke about Ravel and stuff. But yeah, Niall, mate, he'd be coming, mate, in the morning. He's always late. He'd been up playing PlayStation all night. You can tell, mate. You know, someone comes in and they're shattered. And he's just body language, and it was like, and you got a 5-year deal and with Chris Hughton, and probably then just.
You know, the worst thing that could have happened to him?
Lost the fight.
Yeah, because he's probably on good money. Seven, I don't know, maybe. I don't know, it was probably 7 to 10 grand, 5-year deal.
It's mad, isn't he? He's not even out on the piss. He's up playing PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. I'd rather him.
He did do well, but I swear he probably a lot of time was actually just up all night with his mates playing PlayStation. Coming in next day, shattered, and you try to speak to him because he's like, you're an handful, you're decent, you can have a good career here. And you're at a top club, and he'll probably say the same now. But eventually you run out of chances, don't you? And he did, unfortunately.
Wait, so you had a conversation with him. Did you get to a point where I'm talking to a brick wall?
Yeah, because then again, it would be, then he had stuff going on off the pitch. It was something else, and it'd be something else. And it's like, there's only so much you can do, because you've got to worry about yourself as well. Mm. I always tried to help young lads or other people, and I've always been that kind of player in the dressing room to help and get involved with people. But sometimes people don't listen.
Worst thing in all, isn't it? Because one comes out, another FIFA comes out every year,
doesn't
it?
I've been there, though, mate. I've been at United. I was at United. I had Wes Brown telling me, you know, I got that deal. And I was going out stupid amount of times and then training next day with Giggsy and Ronaldo, and I was like getting in at six.
They know you're out.
They probably... Well, Wes Brown pulled me once. and was like, listen, Gaffer's pulled me in and told me to speak to you. Was like, he's a local lad. And said, listen, he knows everything. He did know, Sir Alex knew everything.
How? Did you ever get the bottom of how?
I don't know how. I just feel like everyone, whether it was his spies, whether it was taxis, whether it was kebab shops, he just knew. I swear, it was mad.
Only takes a couple of season tickets here and there, doesn't it?
I'm telling you. Yeah. You think about it, though, if you've been a manager for 20 years, you're going to have people who can text you saying who's out in the town. Do you know what I mean? You hear the stories about Lee Sharp and not back in the day. So imagine 20 years on when it was us lot going out. It was only really me, really, that was Pete. Well, PK was a bit mad. Me and PK were in the first team squad and we lived next door to each other. And we'd go out and stuff and you just knew. But you're young, aren't you? You're not thinking about it, mate. You're just thinking, oh, I'm at United. I'm going to be there since I was 12. I'm in the first team now. This is going to carry on forever again. And then you don't make it United, you have to move on, and that's when you start thinking shit.
Jim, was the best thing you did? Leave and, you know, talking about getting away from home, and what have you.
I just shouldn't have been going out, to be honest with you. I wasn't giving 100%. I wasn't playing at my best every day. I got a new contract. I had no one to help me. Back then, I don't feel like there wasn't much help then, like there is now. With players getting money and that. And I was just going out with my boys, thinking and loving the attention, because I'd just set up Rooney or play Champions League, and I'm there with Anderson. There's quite a young group as well, like Anderson, Nanny. We're all quite a young group of lads that we'd go out.
How was that received from you when Wes Brown took your side? Did you change?
I stopped going out in Manchester. I went out in Leeds. Thinking, you ain't got no spies in Leeds. So, yeah. I just got a townhouse in Leeds instead.
I never had PK down as a fucking boozer.
Oh, PK's a nutter, mate. What a guy he is. Loved him. I can, before lads could come over, I feel like their culture's different to England. So you come to England and you're like, oh my God, wow, what's this? And back over there in Spain or Portugal, wherever you're from, it's nothing like England. So for a while, people, you embrace it.
So you're out in Newcastle, is it a continuation?
Yeah, and so I had my little girl, but yeah, we was out twice a week.
But he's a winning as well.
You're winning, so you can go out. You know what it's like in that town up there? If you win, you know, if you win the derby, you go out for a week. You don't have to buy a drink. You know what I mean? Luckily, I never lost a derby. So I never had to experience any shit from that respect. But yeah, I said, you're winning, you're going out. There's a group of you. When it's one or two of you, you feel like you're letting your team down. When it's like six, seven, eight, you're all flying high.
Put it down to team bonding then, can't you? When there's more than five.
Yeah. It's just you and one other.
Of course it is.
Just you and one other, you're like, they're fucking taking piss, these two.
You can't piss
hate to you. We're
all
in it. We're all in it together. We're all in it.
You can't drop us all, mate. Nah. No, like I said, I loved it up there, man. Sick.
Did you go down with Newcastle?
No.
Or did you sign when they went up?
I signed in that pre-season, they were down.
So they were in the championship. The
yeah, we got promoted, yeah.
And what happened when I came to leaving?
New challenge.
The old new challenge.
QPR were giving some good new challenges.
And a free transfer.
Yeah, mate, you know what I mean?
Go on then, Mr. Fernandez. Yeah. Is that what it was called, Fernandez?
Show me the money, Fernandez.
Listen, mate, look, I obviously got a better contract. Even though Newcastle's Premier League, what a better contract to drop down.
Understandable if you're on a free, innit?
Yeah. And they'd signed Debuchy at Newcastle, so I weren't going to play anyway. So, listen, I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay in the Premier League, but I couldn't turn down the contract. And when you look at the players, the group, the manager, you know what I mean? You're not going somewhere and playing for Harry Redknapp, you know. Richard Dunn, Bobby Zamora, Jermaine Gina, Sean Wright Phillips, Rob Green in goal. He wasn't like, you know what I mean? It was.
You're not
you like to think you're going
you're
up.
You're signing for a team who's having a bash, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Look at them players and you're like, wow, I'm going to learn from these. Andy Johnson, you know, so when we signed others, me, Charlie Austin, Matty Phillips came in, Joey was there. So we had a good, I mean, it was a serious group.
And what was he contract. Like? How did he deal with all them players, Redknapp?
You know what, he dealt with it all right, to be honest.
Well, he got promoted, didn't you?
Yeah, we got that playoff final, mate. It was one of the best days of my life, that one moments of my life, that.
Only shot on target? Was that the only shot on target?
Only shot on target, man. 10 men. Wembley, like, listen, people go FA Cup final and Cup finals, but as you know, the playoff final, mate, that changes everyone's life, mate. I know FA Cup, you win the FA, get a medal, but it doesn't change your next year. Yeah. I mean, this changes staff, you, your contracts, playing in the Premier League or playing in the Championship for another year, and it's Derby, we're a decent team. I mean, 2 minutes to go and Bobby steps up and slots one in at Wembley, and like, obviously everyone wants to play at Wembley as a kid. So for that moment, mate, when he just landed at him and he slotted it, mate, it was honestly one of the best moments I've had in football.
That's why they say it's one of the biggest games, don't they?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're Champions League fan, but like, it is a life-changing game, isn't it? On 90 minutes, 120 minutes.
Most scared I've probably been in a game. And I've had debuts at United and even stuff at Leicester, but walking out that day, you know what I mean? You've had an extra 3 weeks, haven't
That's
you?
That's what I was thinking.
That's why
everyone's
gone all day. You've got an extra 3 weeks, got through the semis, comes down to this one 90-minute game. It changes the next 12 months of your life or your career. It's scary that day, that game. Anyone that's with us, I said, we stuck together. I go back to it. I said before, we had a Tuesday club of lads that were going out and bonding with each other.
More than five?
Yeah. 8 or 9, there you go, team bonding, isn't it? Can't drop us all, mate. So, and you know, listen, if you came train on a Tuesday in your car, you got hammered. We had to get taxis to train on a Tuesday. We're going straight out around London in the pubs with pub crawl. I'm not really a beer drinker, but I remember like Richard Dunn, mate, he can sink pints, mate. He'd be on his third and I'm still finishing my first. But like there was like 8, 9, 10 of us on a Tuesday club. And I feel that when I look back to that final, and we were digging deep, 10 men. You know what I mean? Getting peppered.
It made the difference to going out in tens, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? It makes a difference, and I really do believe that. And that said, and
was he the type of manager that would half turn a blind eye? Because he'll have known, wouldn't he?
Yeah, of course he knew. He knew.
Especially if all the lads had turned up in taxis.
Yeah.
The clue in that.
The car park's empty. he knew we had Wednesday off, it was fine. So obviously it's Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. So if we had a Saturday week, it would be, you know, we'd all go and have a Tuesday's day session with each other. And it, like I said, it was quite a lot of us. And things like that go a long way come end of the season, them moments.
Did he take any of the training, Redknapp? Or did he just... Delegate.
Yeah, he just left it to... Steve McLaren was the coach before he went to Derby.
So would the only dealings you had Jordan. With him would be on a match day? Like,
he's just giving his speech.
It's mad, isn't it, man? Yeah.
You're not turning up at all? Like,
no, he was there.
But he won't have any dealings with the players. Well,
Sir Alex didn't really take coaching sessions, though.
The what?
Sir Alex didn't really do coaching sessions. He was just up here watching everything that you do. He knew when a player was ready and sat for Saturday. And who wasn't, just from his, honestly, he's a doctor. And he let his coach, and they've had discussions of what they want to do, but he would just walk around and just watch everything and watch everyone, everything they're doing, the behaviours and everything. Just telling you now, like if I'm there and it is, you know, look at someone like Wazza, Sir Alex kicked off at him at half time, he knew second half, mate, he was coming out to cause murder and win the game. Right, and he did, do you know what I mean? Remember that Newcastle volley and all that, I mean, things like that. When then someone like Scholesy, he just had to look at him, Scholesy would know what he was telling him without telling him. He just knew how to treat certain players and how to get the best out of them if they were doing something wrong.
So what you're saying to us is when Rooney can take a fucking Scholesy soft as a tub of spoons.
I'm not saying that, mate. Scholesy's quiet anyway, but like you said, he had too much respect. Like, you know what I mean? Scholesy, innit? So he knows you can't say there's nothing to, you can't say too much. You just have to say, oh, come on, Scholesy. And he knows, I mean. And then he'll probably go and bust the game.
And how would a manager get the best out of you?
I didn't mind that. If I got shouted at, it was probably good for me.
Fire in the belly.
Yeah, I needed to play quite on my toes, fiery, angry. If I was too laid back, I weren't the same player.
And which manager was the best at doing that?
Claudio was pretty, he didn't really shout though. Nigel was, would let you know. Obviously, I think for Claudio was, you know, for me, tactically was, I improved so much under him tactically. What he, because he's Italian, wasn't he? They love defenders. What he helped me with was massive for my game.
Just going before we got on to Leicester. So do you know at QPR you say you're going to through the playoffs? So with the squad that you had, did you have should you have gone up automatic? Could you have done better?
We should have with that squad. I think Leicester won the league, they did. Yeah, we should have gone straight up with that team, but we just won a lot of games 1-0. It was like we defended well and Charlie Austin would score. And it wasn't really any like patterns of play or any like coaching and a certain way of playing. It was all off the cuff. But because we had so many experienced players who knew how to get through games and how to manage games and game management, I think that's what got us through.
You know, you spoke about Niall Ranger. Did you have similar conversations with Ravel?
Everyone had.
Yeah.
Everyone has. Still speak to Ravel now. Some of the things he could do, mate. Yeah, even now, before he went to America, he was playing with us on a Tuesday in our little nine-a-side games. And some of the things he can do, mate, is frightening. But everyone tried from Rio. And he's not even a troublemaker. He's just... He's not a troublemaker at all.
Is it naivety or...?
I don't know. I just think he's just...
Thing is, I was going to say, did he not like football? But if he's playing nine-a-side...
We play six weeks holidays before you go back to pre-season. We're in JGB Soccer Dome. We're all playing and he'd be there, mate, every day with his mates. He loves football. He loves football.
Do you think he just prefers that he'd rather play with his mates than it does?
Too
serious, you know, being told what to do, what to eat. And...
I thought, remember at West Ham time when he did that goal? Remember that goal he ran through everyone? And I thought, right, this is...
Kick on.
You're going to see it now and then... I think I've heard him talk about this. I think something happened with Sam Allardyce and whatever and never hit the same. And obviously then this club, that club, that club, and it just doesn't look good, does it?
And you keeps moving. Getting when he turned up at Sheffield United.
Yeah.
You think, the penny must have dropped.
He always starts well, came to QPR, smashed it. I think he was like second top goal scorer after Charlie Afton after a month. And then to the playoffs, he's nowhere near the squad. But he should have been England's playing number 10 for England for years and us all pinning our hopes on him, if I'm honest with you, because he's that good.
It's quite sad, really, isn't it? Quite a bit tragic, really, that he's never fulfilled anywhere near what he should have done.
Oh, no way, not with that. Not that talent, mate. I'd have a quarter of that, what he can do with football.
That's it. It's more frustration, isn't it? You think, if I had your talent...
Oh, again, but then do you work? I don't know. Do you work as hard? I don't know. But like I said, he's still playing. You know what I mean? And people think he's still young. He's still only like 29, 30. I'm sure he is. So, no, he's one of the, like I said, you've probably heard it loads, but he's probably one of the best things I've ever seen.